to Thee.
Thus for
refuge have fled. Thank you. What a wonderful blessing it is to be in the Lord's house again. And when you miss a couple of services due to circumstances such as the weather, it makes you that much, or to me, it makes you that much more thankful to be here with your family. And it's a wonderful blessing to be back. And I want to echo what Brother David has said. What a great blessing we've experienced this past week, that we've been spared, for the most part, spared the destruction and disaster that many people are having to deal with at this time. If you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Galatians chapter 1. I want to continue our look at the book of Galatians. And while you're turning there, just as a recap, you'll remember that a couple of Sundays ago we explored the preceding chapters in Galatians chapter, or preceding verses, verses 8 through 10, and noticed how the Apostle Paul warns us as God's people not to follow after another gospel. He calls it a gospel that's not another gospel. It's a false gospel. And the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church at Corinth and writing to us as the Lord's people today to not follow after the false gospel of legalism. That false gospel that says that I am able to gain any sort of favor with God. As I was studying and pondering these scriptures over the past week or so, I thought about some of my own personal experiences. Have you ever engaged in some activity that you knew from the very beginning was beyond your skill set? I thought about a situation a few weeks ago where we had mechanical issues with our lawnmower. And I am under no illusions at all that I am any kind of mechanic, but I figured, well, let me try to save a few dollars and save some inconvenience and try to get my lawnmower running again. And the first evening that I started working on it, it was fine, but I started getting a little frustrated about the situation. And you have those projects that you know in the beginning that you don't have any idea what you're doing, but you dive into it and you experience failure and then it becomes a personal challenge, and you start devoting more time to that. Well, my lawnmower experience became about a three-day challenge, to the point where I was frustrated to the point where I wanted to take the lawnmower and go throw it in the dumpster. But thankfully, I was able to find somebody that did know what they were doing, Brother Bobby. I talked to him about my lawnmower, and after I spent probably 3 or 4 hours trying to tinker with something that I didn't have a clue about, I sent it over with Brother Bobby, and he probably tinkered with it probably a half hour at his house, because he had it ready the next day and it was running again. We have those experiences. That's because we have this flesh about us that we don't like to be wrong. We like to be the captains of our own destiny. But what happens when we overstep our abilities, overstep our bounds, it inevitably leads to frustration. It inevitably leads to contention. Can you think about areas in your own life where that occurs? My dad, he kids me every once in a while, because again, I like to try to tackle projects even though I may not have a full understanding of it. And sometimes I'll tackle plumbing projects and have to call my dad to come in and clean up my mess. And he gets great joy out of telling me that I don't know what I'm doing and I need to leave it up to the experts. I think Brother Tim has experienced that with my dad before. But, you know, in those areas of life, that happens, and it leads to frustration, and we become angry, we become short-tempered, if you will. Well, I want you to understand, in the spiritual sense, as God's people, when we overstep our bounds, when we overstep what God has established in His Word for us, it will inevitably lead to frustration. And what we're going to see here as we continue in our study in the book of Galatians is that legalism, it breeds frustration. It inevitably leads to frustration. when we have the attitude in whatever fashion that God needs our help, or we have something that we can offer to God where you know, we can gain favor, gain acceptance with the Lord, it leads to frustration. And part of frustration is an insecurity. And this is really, if you understand this, you understand the workings of those that fall into legalism. They become frustrated in their quest. They also become insecure because what you soon figure out in the service to God, if you're trying to do something to earn favor with God, to do something to secure your salvation or gain brownie points, if you will, with God, you realize very quickly that you don't have enough ability, you don't have enough skill to do it. And what does insecurity breed? Well, those that are insecure are often prideful. They're oftentimes arrogant. So what you see in legalism is it breeds insecurity, it breeds pride, and with pride comes arrogance. There comes an attitude of spiritual superiority that is very destructive for the child of God. And that was what Paul was addressing here. Paul calls that attitude another gospel that's not really the gospel. And what I want to look at this morning, and I guess we can form it into a question, is what are those things that steal your joy? And we'll start reading in Galatians chapter 1. We'll start reading it in verse 10, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter very quickly. And I ask that you pray for me this morning that the Lord would be magnified in what's said. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Verse 14, "and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Verse 18, "and after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother." Verse 20, "now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God with me." The Apostle Paul, one of the challenges that the legalist of this time, one of the challenges that Paul confronted, that they put before him, was this idea that he was not really an apostle. There was this idea that he was not really the person that he claimed to be. And these legalists, these Pharisees that had come into the church, they said, well, the Apostle Paul, he's not really authentic because he wasn't there from the beginning. Now, understand that the legalist mindset is that anybody who does not follow our prescribed set of beliefs can't really be spiritual, can't really be in fellowship with God. And Paul confronts them with this, and Paul is going to show us, as you know, the source of his abilities, the source of his strength. And we see, and we noticed as we were reading through these verses here, the source wasn't self, the source wasn't of man. And again, remember who he was dealing with: these prideful, these arrogant Pharisees who said that you're not what you ought to be because you're not following our prescribed religion. Remember, and Paul will address this later on, that these legalists that were coming in said, well, you have to be circumcised in order to really be saved. You have to observe this dietary law. You have to give preference over this day of the week. And basically what was happening was they were bringing contention, they were bringing division into the church, and the Apostle Paul is exposing them for this. You'll remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. The Apostle Paul speaks of their gospel again as being another gospel. And what did Paul say about those that were teaching this other gospel? He said they were those that were troubling them. The word trouble here, it literally means they were agitating them. They were antagonizing them. And let me say this, any kind of legal teaching is antagonistic towards the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In some form or fashion, Paul would say that they were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were turning the gospel inside out. You know, as God's people, you know, and you see it in other portions of Scripture, we've noticed it in our study of 1 John. The purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose of us gathering together as God's people is not for contention. It's not for frustration. It's not for agitation, but it's to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul says that they're bringing another gospel that is troubling you, that's agitating you. They're perverting the gospel of Christ. Well, Paul is going to show us in these verses here the things that we have to beware of as God's people, those things that would steal our joy. Now, I want to tell you, I don't care what it is. Any ideology, any belief that says I have something to do with my salvation, or I have something to do with earning favor with God, it inevitably ends in frustration. You'll be more frustrated than I was trying to repair my lawnmower if that's the mindset that you take. But that was what Paul was confronting. That was what had bewitched the church here at Galatia. And it caused great problems. You know, we read this last verse in chapter 1, and Paul writes about those that were glorifying God. The church at Galatia now, they were a troubled church. They were a frustrated church because they allowed the Pharisees, allowed the legalists to trouble them. Now, Paul is going to address that. So I want us to think here from God's word this morning, what are those things that will steal our joy as the Lord's people, as a church, or as individuals? Well, we read it in verse 10. Let's go back to verse 10 for just a minute. Now, Paul asked the question. He says, "For do I now persuade men, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul talks, number one here, about being men pleasers. If you want something to steal your joy in the house of God, or even steal your joy in your everyday life, you adopt the attitude of being a man pleaser. And Paul says it right here. Paul asks a question. He says, do I persuade men, or do I persuade God? Or do I please God? Well, the legalist, the Pharisee, their primary purpose is not to please God, but it's to lift up men. And what you had amongst the Pharisees, they had created their own construct. They had created their own law that was had totally diverged from the law of God, and it ended up being a system where certain men could lift themselves up above others. And Paul, he confronts that. Paul says, is it my job to persuade men? Is it my job to please men? I want to tell you this, in any area of life, if your primary focus is to please men, you are not going to have the joy that comes from serving God. Now, you think about that. Many of us have secular jobs. Have you ever had to interact with somebody that they were just a man pleaser? You know, they would slack off until the boss came, and then they would look like Johnny on the spot. Are those generally pleasant people to be around? there's generally issues with their character in other areas. Well, I want to say this. In the service to God, if our primary purpose is to please men, to be seen of men, to be noticed of men, that's going to lead to a frustration. That's going to lead to insecurity. That's going to lead to great difficulty in our lives as disciples. We quickly understand from God's word that our purpose is to please God and not men. Now, much of the religious world today, their worship experience is framed around attracting men. Well, what does it mean to be a man pleaser? Well, I thought about in Proverbs chapter 29, where the wise man Solomon in verse 25, he says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, when Solomon was talking about the fear of man, he was talking about being in awe of man, giving deference to man. You know, there's a sense where fear is being terrorized by something, being afraid of something, but there's also a sense in the word fear of being in awe of someone or giving deference to someone. Well, that was what Paul was concerned about here when he says, Do I now persuade men? Paul is saying here, is it my job to give deference to men or to give deference to God? Well, we understand what Paul's desire was. Paul's desire was to please the Lord. But again, much of the religious world today, it's all geared towards giving deference to man. You notice it in many of the practices of the modern church of today, where everything is geared towards attracting people in. You know, if we just have the right environment, we can attract people from the community. If we offer this program for this demographic. We offer something for the kids. We offer something for the singles. We offer something for the old folks. And don't get me wrong, I think that many folks are well-intentioned. But you have to ask the question, are these programs, are they to give deference to man or give deference to God? You know, when you become a persuader of men, you're trying to persuade men, it takes you astray from God's word, and it can be a frustrating experience. That's why many large religious institutions today, they're like a Fortune 500 company. It necessitates that hierarchy to keep all of the plates spinning. You're trying to appeal to this group, that group. You're trying to appeal to the old, appeal to the young. That's a challenge. Because you're not going to appeal to everybody. And what happens in many religious institutions, they're usually a step behind the rest of the world, and they're constantly trying to play catch up. Well, my friends, what we're to do as God's people is to examine Paul's question and ask, what is our purpose? Is our purpose to persuade men, to please men, or to please God? My friends, when we seek to please God, we understand it's not about me. It's not about a certain demographic. It's not about just the young folks or just the old folks or just the singles or just the married folks. But it's about God. We understand that. We understand that God's going to provide for all of those areas. That's why we have integrated worship. It's God's pattern. It's the biblical pattern. Some people may ask the question, well, why don't you have Sunday school where the kids can go over here and learn at their level? And why don't you have a nursery for the little babies so folks won't get distracted in church? Well, when we understand that our desire, our purpose as God's people, and our desire should be to please God, we understand He'll give grace and He'll minister to each of those needs and according to His pattern of worship. You know, I hope that as I stand from this pulpit, and I know it's Brother David's desire to minister to all demographics, I hope this is our Sunday school when we come and sit under the preached Word of God. I hope that as the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God blesses, it'll minister to the heart of the aged, the hearts of those that are young and just starting out in life, the singled and the married folks. Paul says, it's not our purpose as God's people. Our primary directive, if you will, is not to please men. That's a frustrating thing to do. If you don't believe me, go work out in the public sector and try to make everybody happy. You know, you think along the lines of this storm that just came through, and a lot of y'all are on social media, and look at how closely those in the public sector are scrutinized. I just think along the lines of being without power. Everybody called those songs out about heaven today because electricity ain't going to go out in heaven. I got a couple amens on that one. But, you know, we were all without power for the most part. And you know, everybody was on social media, and you can follow along the power company. They did a real good job letting you know when power was restored in certain areas. But every time, what would happen was that, you know, they would say, well, we've restored power to 17,000 homes in this place. There would be somebody that would comment on there, well, I've been without power for 3 days. Y'all aren't doing your job. Never mind, they're working 24 hours a day. And it's hard to please men. You're never going to be successful at pleasing everybody. There's always going to be somebody that feels like they're lacking. There's somebody that feels like they're being left out. They're on the back burner. And I'll tell you, after about 100 hours of no power, that started running through my mind. I didn't articulate it, but that's human nature. But I tell you, when we all are pulling in the same direction of wanting to please God rather than men, we'll be blessed, and there is joy and there's satisfaction in that. So Paul asks the question, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Listen, this applies in every realm of life. If your mission in life is to please a man, please a puny human, and that's the goal, you're going to be frustrated. You say, well, if I can just find the right spouse, I'll be satisfied in that. And I'll just dote over them, and I'll make over them, and my life will be complete. Well, what you quickly find out when you are blessed to find that significant other, that they have their flaws, and you're not going to be totally satisfied in them. You find a husband, he may be good looking, but he leaves the socks on the floor, and that just frustrates you. You find a beautiful wife, but she burns the fried chicken when she cooks it. You know, you see that's just the way it is with men. You say, well, when I have children, I'm just gonna relish in my children. I'm going to have great joy in them. And we love our children, and we do have joy in them, but they disappoint you too, don't they? You say, well, I've got to church now, and we've got that dynamic preacher there. He's just everything that I could ever imagine. And what happens? You quickly find out that the preacher's a man too. I tell you, you don't live to serve Brother David or Brother Michael. You don't live to serve your husband or your wife in the sense that they're the be-all and end-all. You don't live, and this is a big surprise to many in our world, you don't live to serve your kids like they're the be-all and end-all. We live to be the servant of Christ. And when we diverge from that truth, it robs us of our joy, and it creates frustration. So Paul says again, he says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Here's the deal. You will not please men. You cannot do it all. You cannot please everybody, and it will end up being an act of frustration. But that's what legalism tries to do. If you'll follow a certain prescribed set of rules, then everything will be all right. Don't be a man pleaser. You know, people that make their lives, the mission of their lives to please others, they become frustrated. Have you noticed that sometimes those that are men pleasers, they become very combative, don't they? Well, that was what the deal was with many of these Pharisees, these legalists that were infiltrating the churches of Galatia. They were combative. And they accused the Apostle Paul of trying to draw attention to himself. They accused him of the very things that they were doing. Well, Paul would expose them again in Galatians chapter 6. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. It was those Pharisees that were making a show in the flesh. And there were those apparently in the churches of Galatia that they were capitulating. Here's another aspect of being a man pleaser. Not only do you have the propensity to become combative, but you also capitulate to others in order to be accepted. And that was the MO of these legalists that were coming in. Well, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're not going to be amongst the spiritual elite of your area. And here's what happens. When we become man pleasers, we give in to things. We compromise. We compromise doctrinally. We compromise spiritually. We compromise personally. Young people, listen to me. Don't ever compromise what you know to be the truth from God's word to get the acceptance of somebody else, to get the acceptance of a female or a male. You stand firm on the principles that you have learned from God's word. You know, and ultimately, here's the deal. People pleasers, Brother Gary, I appreciate his wonderful prayer. Brother Gary talked about having idols in our lives. And here's what a people pleaser is doing. They're making idols of another person. They're making idols out of people. And listen to this. Ultimately, they're making idols of themselves. They're saying that that God's word is not what's most important. It's what somebody thinks about me. It's how somebody views me, whether it's how they view me, whether it be spiritually, whether it be as far as worldly popularity. Well, Paul says right here, you cannot be a people pleaser and a servant of Christ. And if we become a people pleaser in the kingdom of God, we're going to be very frustrated. Yeah. We're going to miss out on joy. Now, going on, Paul's also going to show us here, as we read in verse 11, that we miss out on joy. We miss out on the joy of our salvation when we allow ourselves to be put into the bondage of legalism. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." He says, "For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Notice verse 13. "For ye have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous than the traditions of my fathers." Now, you'll notice as you read it here, if I counted correctly, the Apostle Paul, in these verses 11 through 14, he uses 11 personal pronouns to talk about me and to talk about I. Now, what Paul is saying here is before the work of the Lord in my life, it was all about me. Paul didn't get religion when he was struck down on the road to Damascus. Paul was a religious man before that. Right. But what was his religion? It was all about him. Yeah. It was all about his accomplishments. And I can see Saul prior to the Lord working in his heart. Saul was a very proud man in the knowledge that he had gained at the feet of the greatest teachers of the Jews of that time. Paul took great pride in persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man that was very lifted up in his status in life. Well, I want you to understand that Paul was a miserable man. Paul wasn't bragging here. He was just relating his former life. And, you know, as far as the worldly credentials go, he had it going on. He said, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." He says, "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it." Paul was very proud prior to his conversion of arresting those that believed in Jesus Christ, taking them to their death. Paul was very proud of the knowledge, he says, "and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals." Well, what was going on here before his conversion? It was all about him. But what does he go on and say? verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, He says, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. You see the change in the tone there?
Yeah.
You know, now Paul, his actions, his words are directed towards God. God who acted sovereignly in his life. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. I want to tell you, you see the distinction there, don't you? It's no longer I and me, but it's God and what God has done in my life. I believe that many of us as God's people, even after being born again by the Spirit, we miss out on the joy of our salvation because we take that legalistic notion that it's about me and about I. Think about the difficulties you had this past week. The power goes out. The phones go out. The internets go out. Your toilets don't start working. There's a lot of opportunities for frustration in that, isn't there? Let's be honest with ourselves. We still have this flesh. Did you not have those times where you threw yourself a little pity party? You know, it's hot in here and they've got power across the street and why am I having to go through this? You think about those times of frustration. You think about the thoughts that you had. Were those thoughts that you had God-centered thoughts or me-centered thoughts? I don't deserve this. I'm in discomfort. I'm being inconvenienced. Me, 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 me. But you probably had those occasions as well that even in the midst of all of the difficulties, even in the midst of all the trials, you had peace about the situation you were in. Now, what brought you the most peace? Well, I'll tell you, in my experience, what brought me peace was when I meditated upon the God who delivered me through the storm. You know, as I pondered, things could have been much more disastrous than what they were. Things could have been worse. Things were predicted to be worse. And we were spared. And my family was spared. And my church family was spared. You know, I was able to rejoice even in the midst of great adversity. Yeah. There was joy to be had in the midst of sorrows and sufferings. Yeah. And that's where it is. We miss the joy of our salvation when we put ourselves in bond, the bondage of legalism that says, I, me, me, me. I think about that country music song many years ago. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. There's no joy in that. You think about the conflict that you have in your life, in your homes. How much conflict is wrapped around, well, I'm not getting what I deserve to get. I'm not getting the attention that I need. I'm not getting the accolades that I need. My friends, what we have to train our minds on in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of real injustices, we have to train our minds on God. And that's what Paul says here. Paul's focus goes from me to God. Verse 15, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Paul was saying here, God has a purpose for me. Isn't that wonderful, a blessing to think about? We're not just accidents in this world. Paul says, I'm not an accident. God, when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb, and when it pleased God to call me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, he says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. God has a purpose for us being here. And I want to tell you, God is watching over us. He's sovereign. He understands what we need. Even in the midst of the power being out and it being hot and you're not able to flush the toilet, God was still there. He was blessing. He was providing. Paul says, God has a purpose for me. And we see that God was working, the sovereign God of heaven and earth was working in the Apostle Paul's life. But he goes on, for time's sake, verse 16, he says, to reveal His Son in me that I might preach among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul is saying here that God has not called me to be a man pleaser. My goal and my purpose in life isn't self-centered. It's not self-serving, but it's going in the leadership of a sovereign God. Notice what he says here. He said, I didn't, verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem. He said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He said, but none of the other apostles, saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. He says, now the things which I write unto you before God, I lie not. Paul was showing here, he didn't follow the traditional means of the religious elite of his day. You know, those legalists, the Pharisees thought that in order to be a teacher of the things of God, you had to confer with men. You had to sit at the feet of the high priest. You had to sit at the feet of the high rabbis. Paul says none of that happened. Paul says this was the work of God in my life. Now I want to tell you, if we've been blessed to understand the things of God, if we've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as our Savior, we didn't gain that from man. We come and we sit under the preached word of God, and it's needful, and we should be doing it as God's people. But if we have a love of God, if we have a desire for the things of God, it's because God put it there. It's not because we were indoctrinated by some man.
Right.
And Paul is showing this. Paul is saying, I didn't follow the normal religious channels of the day. God was the one who called me. God is the one that blessed me. And just very quickly, Paul goes on. He says, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Sicilia and was unknown. He says, notice this, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Now the legalists, they're all about being seen and being heard of men. Today we would, you know, we may talk about someone's image, you know, and there's people that seek high offices of government that they have whole teams focused around on what their image is to be, what their persona is to be. Paul says, I went to some people who didn't even know my face. Notice what it said, though. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Paul says that to say this. I was changed, and it was all by the grace of God. And notice this. Here were some folks. Paul says, these folks weren't familiar with me, but they saw the change that Christ wrought in me. Now, if you want to have joy in your life, there it is right there. Don't seek for people to know your name. Don't seek for people to recognize your face. But seek for them to recognize the change that Christ wrought in your life. That's where true joy is. And I want to ask you the question, do you live in this manner? You live your life in such a way where you say in every area of life, it's not about me, but it's about individuals seeing Christ in me. Paul says, here were folks, they had not seen my face. They didn't know who I was, but they knew that Christ had worked in my life, and they glorified God in that. That's where we're to be as God's people. You want your marriage to be blessed? Don't seek what's for your glory, but seek to glorify Christ when interacting with your wife, when interacting with your husband. If you want to be a blessing in the kingdom of God, don't seek to be seen and known of men, but when people think about you, live your life in such a way, when people think about you, they see Christ. They see how a great work that Christ worked in your life, and they see the Lord in your words and in your actions and in your attitudes. It's in those occasions where we will have true joy. Let's not step out beyond our ability level as God's people. Let's just rest and abide in the truth of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing.
Amen. Amen. The opposite of pleasing men is obeying God. They're mutually exclusive actions. You can't do one while you're doing the other. You can't obey God and please men. If you're here this morning and you have not yet responded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, at some level, you're pleasing yourself instead of God. And so if you want to please him, if you want to properly please him in your life, the first step in doing that is, as Brother Michael said this morning, doing what God said to you. And that's in water baptism. That's the way he's prescribed. You don't have to figure it out. Thank God. That's the way to properly please him. That's the first step. There are many steps after that. But that's the only proper way to begin, is through water baptism by immersion. And we give you the opportunity, if you want to respond to the glorious truth that we've heard, to the hymns that have been sang, to the prayer, the precious prayer that have been prayed here today, the way to do that is to come and present yourself to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll receive you in any way that the gospel so allows. You come home and sing hymn number 257. We'll give the opportunity. Did Brother Michael, Godspeed. Stand while we sing. Amen.